to look at the value of being single-minded. Now, tonight, as we gather back together, Lord willing, He even gives us tonight. We have no idea. We may go on to glory sometime today. Amen. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Whether we live or sleep in Christ, we'll live for His glory. Tonight, we're going to look at the first part of chapter number 7. So those that have been reading with us, you might want to review that again. And those that have not, you could look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. In the first part of this chapter, and this morning we'll look at verses 25 through verse number 38 today. Now, we won't cover it all, but we'll cover a portion of it for sure. So we'll begin reading in verse number 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that have obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely or proper, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behave himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let him marry. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Father, we thank you that you have given in your word every aspect or dynamic of life to help us be the people that you've called us to be, and that you want us to understand how to live a life of single-mindedness before you, to pursue you with all our heart. So we come before you today in this place that has been dedicated for the Assembly of God to gather together and lift up holy hands and a pure heart of sincerity before you, that by grace you would speak to us today, and that you would help each one of us pursue a life that is to live for the glory and the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us recognize how we can be so easily distracted with such precious things, but yet can be pointless things if we're not careful to be heavenly minded, seeking thy face first and foremost in our life. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we approach this passage of Scripture today, as we've been reading through the book of 1 Corinthians, in light of even Wednesday night, for an example, a question was asked as we studied the Word of God, and we looked in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. And in that book, we saw that the Apostle Paul taught us how to live in maturity or live in a sense of perfection before the Lord. No matter if you're a new believer into the body of Christ or if you've been around for a long time, the idea is a mindset to be single-minded in our pursuit to know the Lord and the surpassing value of being in fellowship with Him and the power of His resurrection operating in our life, that we can endure the fellowship of His sufferings and at whatever the cost, for whatever glory, whether God wants to take us out through a martyrdom's death or we die naturally or whatever it may be, however we live, it will be lived unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in these passages of Scripture, he deals with something. And verse 35 is our central verse that we're going to deal with, but we're going to lead into it. Verse 35 says this, "And this I speak for your own profit." That's dealing with a purpose, a fruitfulness. "Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely or proper." That speaks of that which is, that is praiseworthy or what is fitting, "that you may attend or serve the Lord without distraction." That speaks of a promise of being free to serve the Lord with no guilt, with no shame, with a clear and clean conscience of serving Him single-mindedly. Now that's going to be our central verse, but let's start in verse number 25. He uses these words. Now, concerning virgins, that word virgin means those who are maidens, those who are not married, those who are unknown by a man. He says, "I have no commandment or decree of the Lord, yet I give my mindful thinking or my mindful opinion as one that have obtained mercy." When Paul says as one who's obtained mercy, he is saying one who has been saved by the grace of God for the glory of God, to live out His purposes. So therefore, the reason He saved me is to exist as one who is trustworthy, one who is faithful. So I'll give you what I know runs in harmony with heaven. Now, what does He say? Verse 26. He says, "I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress." Obviously, in the church at Corinth, there was questions that was being asked of the Apostle Paul. He deals with that in the first part of the chapter. Look in verse number 1 of chapter number 7. He says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me." So obviously, they had some questions about these issues that they wrote to the Apostle Paul to give answers to. And one of the issues was about marriage, about a young maiden, and about the life of the believer in living out for the glory of God. So he says that obviously they were under distress. The word distress there means something that is aching, something that can't be straightened out. For an example, how many of you ever broke an arm before or a wrist? Did you ever have a, when you broke it, did they put it in a cast or a sling so that it would set, but you couldn't straighten your arm out or your leg out or your foot out? The idea here is something is constricted. It's bound in this distress and they can't get it straight. And Paul recognizes the church is in this condition. So now he's going to try to help them straighten some things out in their life. And I'm thankful for the Word of God. It's the best thing in the world to straighten things out. Amen. It is our measuring tool. It is our plumb line. It is our standard. But this church was in a position that they needed help. And he says, "I say that it is good for a man so to be." Verse 27, "Art thou bound unto a wife?" That would mean seek not to be loose for her. If you're married, you stay married. Amen. Seek not to be loose. But not only that, in that day, they had what we would call a betrothal period. Anybody know what a betrothal period is? When a woman was betrothed to a man, that he was bound to her up until the point of marriage. They even treated it as if they were already married. They were bound. They was engaged, what we would call it these days, to fulfill a marriage covenant. He says, look, if you are bound, whether you're married or you're betrothed, don't seek to be loosed. Art thou loose from a wife? That is, you are not bound to her for whatever reason. Maybe she had passed away, because the Bible says as long as a wife is living, by law, you're still bound to her. Amen? Amen? You're still bound. But if you've been loosed, and Paul gives some things in here about being loosed in some ways. But he's saying if you're loosed from her, do not seek another wife. And he's going to make a point why. Verse 28. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Now notice what he's saying here. He says if you're loosed from a wife, don't seek a wife. But if you do get married, it's okay as well. Amen? Are you following me? He's saying it's a matter of hearing from the Lord. At one phase, he says, look, if you don't have to get married, don't get married. And there's a reason why. But if you have to get married, that is, you can't maintain self-control. And we're going to look at that tonight in the first part. For an example, he said it's better to get married and have your own wife than to burn and commit fornication before God. You're better off having your own wife. Amen? So in this context, he's saying, look, if you can maintain living single and living for the Lord, now in context, he's dealing with authentic believers, not just with anybody in general. He's saying those who belong to the body of Christ, those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can live a life of self-control and maintain a persevering, God-centered life without getting married, don't seek a wife. You're okay. Now, the Bible does say, he who finds a wife findeth a good thing. Amen? So this is what Paul is saying. Look, if you get married, you're okay. You haven't sinned. Either way, you're all right. This church was constrained in the fact they were wondering, well, if I get married, will I sin? If I don't get married, am I in sin? And they were distracted with this thought process. And therefore, they couldn't adequately serve the Lord the way he intended to be served. That's important for us. It may not be marriage that easily distracts us. It may be something else that keeps grabbing our attention and holding us back and keeping us in some sense of bondage that we can't serve the Lord the way he intended us to serve him. He's just using the context with the question they had about marriage in general. Let's look a little bit further. Go on into this passage to get to where we want to go. Where did I stop reading? Verse 28. Let's get there. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she is not sinned. Nevertheless, such, whoever gets married, shall have trouble. Whether you get married or don't get married, you're going to have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. I want to forbear with you. I want to help you. Now notice what he says in verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives ought to be or be as those that had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Now, what in the world is he saying here? That's saying if I'm married, I ought to not act like I'm married. I'm married to Stephanie. That probably wouldn't go over well. Amen? Ladies, if you belong to a man and you was to live or act like you didn't belong to them, that probably wouldn't set over well. What is he saying? He's saying this. Don't get so caught up with the world's way of modeling and fashioning things that you begin to look like the world and fit in with the world that you can't adequately serve the Lord. The time is short. The appearing of the Lord is at hand. And we have no time to waste. We can't get caught up and the frivolous, mundane things of life and miss what we've been called to do. And that is to make disciples for the glory of God. Amen. He says, for those that rejoice in the world, there's nothing wrong with rejoicing, but don't keep on rejoicing in it. And those that are weeping, he's saying, don't let your circumstances that you find yourself in this world grip you and control you. If you've been through a bad time and you've wept over it, don't get caught up in the bad time. Look unto the Lord and move on. Amen. And if you've been in such a great time of celebration and rejoicing, don't get so caught up in it that you can't move on from there and go on and serve the Lord. And those that use the world, the word there is the enterprise or the furnish the hand to the world to make your living by the world. Don't abuse it or don't misuse it. Why? The world you live in, the order of the things that we live in today is passing away. It's temporary. It's frivolous. The priority of our life is to set our affections and mind upon the Lord, to look unto Him. Amen? And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. These men were distracted. What was they distracted about? They wanted to make the right choice. What was the choice? To either give their daughter in marriage or not give her in marriage. They were bothered by it. They were distressed by it. And it hindered them in the service. The word distraction means to drag along with you everywhere you go. Have you ever had something in your life that just was a problem, and you just every other aspect of your life, you kind of seem to just drag it in with you? That's a distraction. That when something has your way of thinking and your mindset so much that you've got it on your shoulder and you dragging it into every dynamic of your life, that's called bondage and not the freedom that God come to set us free for. And when I'm not free, I am not fitting. And when I'm not fitting, I can't be fruitful. And what my profit is in the kingdom of God, where my benefit is being fruitful for the glory of God. And when I'm fruitful for the glory of God, I am fitting to be praiseworthy before the throne of God, a display of His glory. Why? Because I'm fulfilling the freedom of the promise that Jesus Christ come to set me free. But if I'm dragging something into every aspect of my life, I can't attend well. I can't sit well before the Lord because my conscience condemns me. I'm not clean and I'm not clear. I'm guilty of what choice do I need to make? And Paul is saying, look, guys, it doesn't matter. You can let them marry and you will be fine, or you can not let them marry and you will be fine as well. You're making a big deal out of something that don't need to be made a big deal about, and you're dragging it into every relationship you have, and you're not serving the Lord the way He intended you to serve. Now, let's apply that in other ways of our life. What are some other things that we can so easily drag into our life of being a servant of the Lord? What's some things? You help me out today. What's some things? Finances? When you're struggling financially and that consumes your thought process and you're dragging that into every other dynamic of your life, you'll wind up being fruitless, unfitting, not free, but bound. Because you drag it into everything. You're distracted by, what's another one? Politics. In our day and time, if we're not careful, we can turn on those messengers of misery, that TV, and listen to Fox or CNN or whoever else it is. And man, everything that we think about, every time we open the Word of God, every time we talk with somebody, every relationship encounter we have has this drug into it. And before long, we're not a vessel that is to be praiseworthy, fitting and proper before the Lord, and fruitful, producing for God. We're distracted because we're dragging something along with us. Somebody else said something, not only politics, but what else? Work. Now, he said, look, those who use the world, that is, who furnish the hand unto the world, who supply something to the world, don't abuse it or don't misuse it and get so caught up with the elements of the world that you fail to realize that work that you're doing and the elements thereof is all going to burn up one day. It ain't going to endure the flames. Amen? It ain't going to pass the test. It ain't entering in the glory. So what in the world is Paul teaching us here? He's teaching us to learn how to value a life that is single-minded in our pursuit of being a servant of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God. If you're going to be anxious about something, he says, be anxious about being a servant of God. Meaning, if you're going to think about something, if you're going to drag anything into the dynamic of your life, drag that into it and you'll be okay. Amen? Amen. Being a servant of the Lord so that you can sit well. The word attend well or serve well before the Lord is that very idea. Being a waiter, an attendant on assignment. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant and your waiter didn't serve you too well? That's becoming more and more a common occurrence, isn't it? And they keep adding on to your gratuity again and again. You know, as the economy does what it does, what's the proper gratuity now? I was somewhere the other day. It was 17%, I believe. 18%. Now, I don't mind tipping somebody or showing somebody gratitude for what they do when they serve you. But when somebody sets a standard that it's 18% and the people are not really serving you and sitting, it don't sit well with you. Amen. It bothers you. Well, the thing is, if we're not sitting well in our service before the Lord because our conscience is not clear and clean, it's bothersome to the Lord as well. And what God desires and what he paid for on the cross of Calvary is for us to have a clear conscience, to be clean. The blood of Jesus clears our conscience. Amen. I'm free. I don't have to be distracted by anything, because when I operate in faith, I'm pleasing the Lord. But if I operate and step out in something that's not of faith, that is sin, and my conscience will condemn me of that, and the Spirit of God will convict me of that, and I don't sit well if I don't deal with it through repentance and I don't honor and glorify the Lord. So he's saying, guys, look at this. You wrote and asked me about these questions. You're acting immature. You're acting like carnal fleshly men. He's already said that in chapter 3 of this book. You're not exercising wisdom that you need to exercise. Remember, he said in chapter 6, for those that have been reading with us, he says, why are you going to outside lawyers to settle disputes among one of you? You don't have a man among you that's wise enough to deal with some of these problems that you're having? He says, you have utterly failed if you go to an outside world who's least esteemed among the things of God and ask them to give you help in anything concerning the people of God or the things of God. You utterly failed. When you seek help from an outside world, you fail. He said, it's despicable, is what he said. And now he says, look, I want to spare you some trouble. The problem is your mindset. You're distracted. And when you're distracted, you can't serve well. And when you can't serve well, you can't display the glory of God and be fruitful for him. And what God desires out of our life is to be servants that are fitting, praiseworthy, trustworthy, faithful, whose minds are set upon the Lord, who see the promise that I can serve him without distractions. I can serve him in freedom. That is a promise. Amen. I can be something that is praiseworthy because it's fitting, it's proper, it's beautifully arranged in its proper position. The word proper here in your translation or whatever translation you're using, the idea is it's something that is beautifully arranged. It's like flowers in a vase that are beautifully arranged. Have you ever seen flowers that just wasn't beautifully arranged? Have you ever seen you go to a funeral, you go to somebody's house and you may be, I was at a place I preached one day and they had a girl that did some, a flower arranging. I don't even know if there was a flower in it, but they had some sticks in it, and the sticks, it looked like I was sitting between goalposts. I'm telling you, I had to look between those things. Now, she liked it, and it might have fit more likely if she was in some other place in some big city, but I was preaching out in the country. It didn't fit there. And I think she got offended when people made it known to her that it didn't fit there. But it's not the matter of our opinion what is fitting or beautiful. The matter is, what is God designed to be fitting? What has He said is a beautiful arrangement? And He says that is when you can serve Me, clear conscience, clean in your convictions, in the power of My Spirit, walking by faith, not distracted, and dragging other things into My service. Because the Scriptures teach us that when we have a care, what do? We're to cast it upon the Lord. Why? Because He careth for us. Amen. When we have a burden, we bring it unto the Lord. And He'll give you rest for your soul. And He'll put His yoke upon you, which is light and easy to bear. And you can walk and fellowship with Him. But He says, you can't, if you're going to drag your distractions with you, you can't walk yoke together with Me. Amen. You got to cast them on Me, and I'll free you to be able to walk with Me. Now, I want you to think about in your own life, what's something that's really been working on your way of thinking? Something that's had you anxious? A distraction that you've been dragging into a lot of stuff? Would your family know that you've been distracted? More than likely so. Will those you work with recognize that you carrying some baggage with you? Probably. Well, do you want to be fitting and proper, beautifully arranged? Do you want to be profitable, producing and fruitful for the kingdom? Well, cast that care over to Jesus. Give it to Him and quit dragging it around and let Him set you free. Amen. Just let Him set you free. He'll set you free. It's what the cross of Calvary, the power of the blood, the wonderful resurrection is all about. Romans chapter 4 in the close of it says this, that because of our offenses, He was delivered up. Because of our sins, He was delivered on the cross. But for our justification, or for our validation of our freedom, that the cross accomplished what God set it forth to accomplish. He was raised from the dead. And I want to tell you, when you see a resurrected Savior who now lives to intercede for you, who is making subjects and conquering things in our life daily, it's for our validation that we're free. We're free and justified to be His servant and His alone. Because as Corinthians already taught us, we've been bought at a price. Amen. Our bodies, our life is not our own. We're His. And we don't need to get distracted by things in this world that are temporal, that are frivolous, and that are useless and have no eternal value. We need to be single-minded for His glory. Then we'll produce. We'll be praiseworthy. We'll walk in His promise that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's praise the Lord today. I tell you what, let's sing that one more time. That 605. Now, in light of being free and walking to serve the Lord, let's sing that one more time in the fact of sitting well before Him and listen to the words to this hymn and this invitation. Altar be open. Some of you need to come cast some of those things you've been dragging onto the Lord in this invitation. Father, we bless You. Thank You so much for Your gift of grace. Thank You for freeing us. And those that are still carrying the burden, whatever it may be, we ask You today that, Lord, You would help them cast that care upon You. You say, come unto Me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and You shall give us rest. So we want to come to You today and submit ourselves to Your authority and leadership and cast our cares upon You. We love You. Thank You for loving us. And we give You the praise. Now help us sit well before You, attend You in this life and not be distracted. In Jesus' name, amen.